This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
At 10:06, happy race day, everybody. It's Kane with Full Throttle Racing with Kane. What a great show today. Thanks to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Deep South Speedway. Today is the first Mountain Dew Drift Series of 2016 at Five Flag Speedway. I'll be behind the microphone this afternoon from 4 to 9. And if you've never seen the night drifting at the track, you've got to come check it out. Just $10 to get in. Also, big news with the Rusty Wallace Driving Experience coming back, and the new season express passes are available at Five Flag Speedway. Also coming up March 5th, the track's doing a huge fundraiser with an open practice for tornado victims in Pensacola. We'll talk to Tim about it later. Dustin Long with NBC Sports and NASCAR, where to start with him? Stuart Haas is now moving from Chevrolet to Ford's in 2017. Also, NASCAR has announced the 20 nominees for the 2017 Hall of Fame class, and JGR collects $1.5 million from Denny Hamlin's Daytona 500 win. Open practice today at Deep South Speedway, the Icebreaker Challenge opening night with the ASCS Southern Outlaw Wing Sprint Cars is coming March 5th. We've got the details coming up. And as we start off the show today, I'll tell you what, he's bringing the circus. It's been ARCA in the past. He's upgraded now to NASCAR. And wow, Tommy Prater, it's going on. The NASCAR K&N Pro Series, Mobile 150 coming. But even better than that, what's up with the Bottle to Throttle Bar Tour? Where'd you come up with that? Good morning.
I'm moving a little slow this morning because, you know, us old guys, we can't do the Bottle to Throttle and get up and go the next morning like we should.
That's right.
So I'm a little on the slow side. Whitney Patterson, our marketing person, and our interns came up with that program.
I love it.
You know, I thought it was a good idea until we started implementing it the other night. And, you know, it's killing the old man, Derek. I'm not going to lie.
Well, Tommy, whatever it takes. You know that, right?
You know me. I'm a gamer, man.
That's right.
Whatever they
got to
have.
You know, there's a lot of news this week with Mobile International Speedway. You know, they're teaming up with Sunny South Raceway, which is great for the local drivers, the Highway 90 Challenge Series between the two tracks. Excited about that. But what's really great is you're kicking it off March 11th and 12th. Worked really hard to bring NASCAR back to Mobile, and you're doing it big.
It's been an amazing process over the last few months, getting NASCAR to come back to Mobile for the first time since 1951.
Wow.
The guys have been absolutely fabulous. The head of the K&N series and the head of safety for NASCAR were in here this week. We had them for 2 days at the racetrack, going over ideas of ways that we could improve the show for the fans. Mm-hmm. And I think we have something that's going to be pretty special for the fans that, to my knowledge, we've never seen before at Mobile International Speedway. And we're going to make the front straightaway there, what the pit area, a live pit area. And we're going to add jersey barriers that's going to encompass the racetrack, so the guys can pit their cars on pit road in front of the fans, so the fans can see what's going on with the race car.
I love that. I remember when the movie came and filmed there, and we set up like that over at the track. I thought, why can't we do this more often? And that's going to be really cool. Adds another element to the fans, which, by the way, tickets, I understand, are moving quick and even camping quicker.
Yeah, you know, camping, I think for all practical purposes, our camping is gone.
Wow.
At the Speedway. We maybe have a spot or two left. We do reserve some seats, spots for the drivers. Those are going quick, and that's normally, if we have any left over, that's what we have left over. But, you know, if you hadn't got your camping spots yet, you really need to be on the phone, because I think they're about gone. Ticket sales are phenomenal. Our corporate sponsorships are absolutely through the roof this year.
Great.
We couldn't be happier. Obviously, when you bring back a brand name like NASCAR, corporate America pays attention,
mm-hmm.
and we have a huge amount of influx of new corporate partners. We've announced Tumi Equipment is in the mix. Advanced Auto and Collision is here. Mako Fabrication is coming on board, and just the list of new corporate people that have come in this year has been pretty phenomenal. And I'm sure I'm leaving some out, because you know, we've got a great marketing team here now, and it's really starting to pay dividends for not just the K&N race, but for our race team, and our great guys are starting to help some other racers here along the Gulf Coast, and we're seeing positive results for everybody, and that's what we're after. We want a very healthy racing community, and we want a great racetrack to go to on Friday and Saturday night, and we're doing everything we can to make that happen.
Yeah, you know, I've seen a decline of people building cars recently, and seems like the fans are not coming out as much. So we do have to kind of, you know, like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, bring the circus, you know, and you're one of the best circus leaders there are.
Well, you know, and that's part of the guys here, the young guys and girls here, came up with the Throttle to Bottle Tour.
Love it.
I haven't said that right yet, I don't think. But you know,
have another drink, Tommy.
Yeah, normally when I see Thomas on the throttle, that's when I'm looking for a bottle. So I think that's why I'm having such a difficult time with the name of our program. But the Bottle to Throttle Tour is about young people. And for last week at Hooters, they were jammed in there. And Judy's place on Thursday night was absolutely phenomenal. You know, that's Racer's Lunch Hub anyway.
Yep.
And next week we'll be down at O'Daly's downtown and Lucky's out on Airport Boulevard. So it's going to be it's a fun deal. We had a lot of fun with the fans this week, and we're looking forward to next, if my body can hold up.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the date, and, you know, we're only about two and a half weeks away from the very first race of the season. It's finally caught up to us. Now, that's for the local drivers. I want you to talk about a great run for you guys at Daytona with the Moose.
Man, what a great weekend we had. I can't tell you how hard Thomas and Colin and all the boys at the shop have been massaging on that car for the last 3 months to get it ready to go to Daytona. You know, we made a big effort at Daytona this year that's probably going to hurt us some more down later in the year, which we did it opposite last year. Mm-hmm. We didn't make a big push at Daytona, which gave us money to make the run there towards the latter part of the season, but Thomas and I both agreed Daytona and Talladega, that's it for us, and we want to run good there, and boy, did Thomas have a great run, and the guys put in a great performance, so we were very happy with Daytona.
Well, good. Can you explain to the fans, with NASCAR coming back, NASCAR K&N East Series, what exactly kind of cars are these going to be? How can you tell the fans what to expect?
Well, so the ARCA guys run a Gen 4 car with a Gen 4 body, or as a lot of fans know, the Twisted Sister, that, you know, it's a metal car, and there's all these templates that go over it, and it's basically an old Nextel Sprint Cup car.
Yeah.
Sprint Cup is running a Gen 6 car right now, and the NASCAR K&N series is running the Gen 5 car.
Oh.
So it's one step better than the ARCA cars. They're going to really love the bodies on these cars. Mm. They're composite bodies. They look like a Sprint Cup car. They've got today's styling, today's lines of what a Ford looks like or what a Chrysler or a Chevy looks like. And after the show in New Smyrna, what a great show these guys put on down there.
Yeah.
And we're really looking forward to them being here. And you know, the one of the things that we did, one of the changes that we made at Mobile is New Smyrna did not have pit stops. And Mobile, we instituted the halfway mark.
Yeah.
And so those guys, when they pit for the halfway mark, they're going to pit right up there on the front row.
Love it.
Where all the fans can see what's going on with their car.
Who's been helping you bring this show back to Mobile?
Oh, my goodness. How long a show you got?
I know, right?
I mean, you know, when we met with the NASCAR guys earlier this week, and we were talking about the racetrack being in transition and all that kind of stuff, you know, I think the first person you have to thank is Ida Fields for letting us continue to play at her racetrack while she is trying to move towards retirement. I mean, a lot of people would have just closed and said, when it sells, then y'all will be racing again. So she's number one at the top of the list when it comes to the county and city people, the Mobile Sports Authority, Danny Cordy and those guys. We could not do this race with their support. And look, when it was down at crunch time, we had guys like Jerry Carl were calling down to NASCAR going, hey, we want you here in Mobile.
Well, it's amazing. It's going to be a great race, Tommy. Thank you so much for coming on. Again, tickets are still available. The inaugural Mobile 150 presented by the Mobile Sport Authority. Now, it's not hard to find tickets. You can call 343-2929. You can get more information also on our Facebook page. Look up Tommy Prater on Facebook. He's got you covered. Again, thank you, Tommy. On the way, big news from NASCAR teams this week. Tim Bryant with Five Flag Speedway, and it's opening day and another open practice today at the new Deep South Speedway in Locksley. We've got the details. Hang on. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Later today, we'll podcast the show at usfdracing.org. Again, thank you to Tommy Prater. It's going to be great to have the NASCAR K&N race here. Again, that's going to be a double date March 11th and 12th. And the bar crawler, what did he call it? From bottle to throttle? I don't know. Tim, he was saying he's a little too old for that. Tim Bryan joins us. I don't know if I can handle that. He said that's more for the younger kids.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, but anything that ties into the return of NASCAR to Mobile is certainly good publicity and gets people excited. We're really looking forward to the Mobile 150.
You know, I don't know where to start our segment today because Pensacola was rocked, first of all, by a terrible storm, a tornado, and our announcer at the racetrack, Robbie Harvey, was right in the middle of it, and he did some amazing things, and now you have teamed up with his church for a special date, March 5th, and what a neat idea for a fundraiser, Tim.
Well, it certainly we've got some families in need over here. You know, tornadoes are wicked, and we've got some areas that were hit pretty hard. And you know, to get a vivid description of it is only to hear that, you know, that people were walking around, you know, just kind of with the shirts on their back, yeah, figuring out what they're going to do next, where they're going to go. And so obviously there's lots of needs, and we want to help in some small way. And you know, we're going to conduct a couple of events at the track next Saturday that hopefully will play a small role in helping some families. For one thing, we're going to have a spring yard sale, something that we've been talking about for a long time and trying to get together, and we got it in fast motion. Now we've got it scheduled for next Saturday. It's in the Speedway parking lot. Folks can bring out any of their household goods, anything they want to sell, yard sale type stuff. And we're going to charge $15 for a booth space. Of course, that $15 will go directly towards the relief fund through the Marcus Point Baptist Church. Of course, that's the church where our announcer, Robbie Harvey, is the media director. Also next Saturday from 10 until 2, longer if need be, we're going to open the racetrack for an open practice session for anybody and everybody, all divisions, as they want to knock the rust off or get new cars tuned in or what have you for the 2016 racing season. We'll do that next Saturday. $15 pit admittance. Again, all of that money, 100% of it, will go towards that relief fund. So we're hoping we can get a strong turnout, both in the parking lot for the yard sale, and you know, hopefully we'll get to see some racers making their first laps of 2016, and we can raise some money for a good cause.
Everybody's got a little junk they could get rid of, right?
Well, you know, the Bryant family certainly does. I can attest to that. We'll have us a booth out there for sure.
Hey, it's the first drift of 2016. I'll be behind the microphone today, drifting back at Five Flag Speedway. You've got a lot of events. And Tim, today, to get the people out, it's a nice day. It's going to be a beautiful evening tonight, 4 to 9. Nothing like seeing the Emerald Coast Drifters do the night drifting on your track.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We've got some guys that are chomping at the bit. We haven't done it since last October here at Five Flags, and our friend Mike Bebo is helping us coordinate this event. We've got some guys that'll probably be coming through the gate in just a little while as we prepare for a 3 o'clock gate opening. We start sliding at 4 o'clock, and we'll go all the way till 9 o'clock tonight. So it'll be a lot of fun. We're gonna thump some music, and you know, there'll be some tailgate parties going on. And watching these guys slide around. And what's really fun, like you said, after dark is when they get down to the steel cords on them tires and they shoot sparks out of the wheel.
Yeah, definitely some photo opportunities for sure. And let's talk about the opening night race at Five Flag Speedway, and also something new, which I love this idea, Tim, season express passes available.
Yeah, we've had some demand for that for quite a few years. This year, you know, we've stepped it up a little bit to include a VIP parking spot. So folks you know, can come and park very near the gate. $175, which is a little savings over each and every event, but $175 season pass will get you, as you said, through the express lane. When you arrive, yeah, no standing in line. No matter what time it is, you can go right through the gate to your seat. So, looking forward to some folks stepping up on that. And, man, we can't wait till March 25th to get things started.
Yeah, and again, you've got a lot of special dates coming up with the open wheel mania. What, I forget what you call it, but it's so great, a play on words. Tell me about all the cool shows coming, the sprint cars, the modifieds.
Well, I'll give you the short version.
There
we're starting on March 25th with the Pro Truck Division 50 lap race.
Yeah.
And man, that division, I ain't got to tell you, is just growing by leaps and bounds. We're going to have some interesting characters on opening night, March 25th. That'll be our featured attraction, along with Sportsmen and Bombers and a $5 grandstand ticket to get things started off for 2016. So we're really looking forward to that. And then the very next Friday night, we'll begin our every other Friday program.
Mm-hmm.
No Fools, April Fool's Day, April 1st. It's the beginning of the Southern Swing, King of the Wing Southern Swing.
See, that's hard to say, brother.
It is. It's the open wheel Mania Night, the wing sprint cars, world's fastest short track cars.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also have the modified of Mayhem opener at Pensacola, so it's all open wheel racing. Also going to have something very interesting for our old school fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame Racers Reunion.
Ooh.
We're going to have seven or eight old cars on display.
Wow.
And some, I hate to use the word old drivers, but some drivers from yesteryear.
Seasoned professionals.
Seasoned professionals, very well said. But that's going to be in our fan zone, so that's going to be a lot of fun. So that's going to be a good night. Of course, the Wing Sprint Cars will be in Mobile on Saturday night and in Montgomery, Alabama on Sunday afternoon. So a triple header should ensure a strong field of cars down for that.
I'm telling you, it's just been such a long off season, and what, month and a half we've had. But everyone's ready to get back to the track. And again, you've got something else special for the fans I want to talk to you about. It's that Rusty Wallace driving experience. I've done the driving before, and when you get the fans out there and give them a thrill ride, you should just see the smiles on their face underneath the helmet says it all.
Yeah, that's turned into something that people just look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
They come a couple of times a year, both Pensacola and Mobile. They'll be in Pensacola on March 19th, scheduled to be at MIS on March the 20th. RaceWithRusty.com is the website. Everything, of course, is done through that organization, not through the racetracks. But great opportunity to come out and either drive a car or ride around in a car with in all likelihood, one of our local drivers.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Well, FiveFlagSpeedway.com is a website. Lots going on. I'll see you in just a few hours getting ready for drifting. It's going to be a great season, and we appreciate you doing everything you're doing for the racing along the Gulf Coast. Can't wait.
Well, I tell you what, Kane, I appreciate all you do, and we've got a great group of people working hard to ensure that racing goes on in the Gulf Coast area. Testament to that is the new Highway 90 Challenge series between MIS and Sunny South Raceway. We're fully supportive of that.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of opportunities for guys to go racing this year amongst three racetracks.
You're absolutely right, Tim. A lot of drivers are going to take advantage of the Highway 90 Challenge Series. Again, Mobile International Speedway and Sunny South Raceway putting that together. You know, Kane Motorsports is excited to be racing all over the Gulf Coast, from dirt to asphalt, and we couldn't do it without our sponsors. Got to thank McDonald's for coming on board again. They've been a big part of what we do with the childhood cancer at KanesWarriorKids.com. You can go to that website. It's K-A-N-E-S WarriorKids.com. And we've got information where we're set up next and where we're doing the fundraisers. And don't forget, we have also more of the Easter egg drops coming up. We've had lots of race teams asking about dates. We don't have dates yet, but we will be having them within the next week or so. And we're going to be dropping off. We'll have another parade of race cars and ratty rods that'll drive up to the USA Women's and Children's Hospital in Mobile and also back to Pensacola for the Children's Hospital at Sacred Heart Hospital there in Pensacola. It's going to be a lot of fun, and there's nothing like blessing those kids. So thanks to McDonald's, also Cyclops Vapor, and our new driver going for Rookie of the Year, Zach Carpenter. He's going to be a big part of what we do this year with Kane Motorsports. Pull apart back with us again, USFD Racing. That's United States Fire Department Racing. We race to bring funds and awareness to local volunteer fire departments. Also, Ingersoll Racing, a big part of what we're doing this year. K1 Race Gear, Falsac Tire, SeanHerman.com. That's S-E-A-N, Herman.com. He owns the Belrose Tattoo and Piercing at Highway 98 in Daphne. They do amazing work. Also, Metro Glass of Mobile, BA Motorsports, In Rowdy Rods of the South, all helping get six cars we're doing in Kane Motorsports this year. From two open-wheel modifieds to two bombers, a pro truck, and now a go-kart. So you'll see Kane Motorsports out raising money and taking those checkered flags. And coming up, we're just 2 weeks away from opening night at Deep South Speedway. Today, they've got the open practice. And Dustin Long with NBC Sports, lots to cover with NASCAR coming up, so stand by. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, always brought to you by great sponsors, including Mobile International Speedway, Five Flags Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Deep South Speedway. Again, thank you to Tim Bryant for Five Flags coming on, Tommy Prater with the NASCAR K&M Mobile 150. It's going to be a great race, the first race of the season to Mobile, and March 11th and 12th. And also remember, we've got opening practice day today at Deep South Speedway. They're going to be running the first race of the season March 5th, and they're running every Saturday. We've got more details coming up. Well, NASCAR has been crazy after the Daytona 500. There's penalties out there now. And then I'm hearing just a huge paycheck to the winning team, which is amazing. But I think the biggest news is between the Chevy and Ford fight. And it all comes down to Dustin Long with NBC Sports. Good morning, Dustin. Welcome to the show. Wow, did Tony Stewart, did they drop a bombshell or what?
Well, I mean, certainly it shocked a lot of people in the sport of Stewart Haas Racing making the announcement this week of moving from Chevrolet to Ford after the season. But I think, you know, when you get past that, I think there are other questions. I think there are other questions that come to mind. And so, you know, I think what you look at is, what does this do? You know, you look at the Chevy teams, you've got Hendrick and RCR both have engine programs. Hendrick obviously lost four customers for next season in Stewart Haas Racing because Hendrick was supplying engines and chassis and technical support to Stewart Haas Racing. Now, Hendrick official said on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio this week that it won't be business as usual with Stewart Haas, but they still pledge their full support to the organization. And obviously, you know, as Hendrick moves towards things from beyond the season, they're not going to let Stewart Haas Racing know about that.
Yeah, right.
But again, I think what's interesting is you look at the, like I said, you know, Hendrick supplies engines right now for Stewart Haas Racing. They'll lose those four after the season. They supply engines for Ganassi, and they supply engines to H. Scott Motorsports. Mm-hmm. RCR has an engine program that supplies for its teams, obviously. JTG Doherty, Tommy Baldwin Racing, Circle Sport Levine Family Racing, and Germain Racing. So, if you look at compare Ford and Toyota, Toyota has its engines for the Top Cup team supplied by Toyota Racing Development. Only one engine supplier. Yeah. Ford is Roush Yates, does the engines for its Top Cup teams. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting that Chevrolet's got two. Is there a chance that they'll work together, do more together, combine? I know Richard Childress was asked that on NASCAR's Sirius XM NASCAR Radio earlier this week and said, you know, it feels like that they do good stuff and Hendrick does good stuff. You know, maybe it's something that could be down the road but doesn't proceed at this point. Right. So I think that's a trickle-down effect to watch. I think another one, obviously, when you look at the Ford camp, Stewart Haas Racing moves over there. You can make the argument they're the number one team, or you know, 1A and 1B with Team Penske.
Yeah.
So the question is, where does that leave Roush? I know that Ford executives were in a teleconference call with reporters earlier this week, and they said that you know, that the same level of commitment is going to be there for all their teams.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it would seem that Roush would still get the same support it's gotten. I think there's some questions out there about that. I think there's some questions about, you know, Roush needs to step it up, or they could get further lost in the shuffle. So it'll be interesting to see how all of this plays out. I mean, this is just, you know, the news is there that it's happened.
Yeah.
Now what's the trickle-down effect of how it's going to affect teams? Does this lead to any other movement of teams to another manufacturer?
Mm-hmm.
And who becomes the number two team at Chevrolet? Is it Richard Childress Racing, which hasn't won a championship since 1994 and hasn't won a race in a couple of years? Or is it Chip Ganassi Racing, which has never won a championship and hasn't won a race in a couple of years? Is it one of those, or is it somebody else? You know, remember when Joe Gibbs Racing left Chevrolet for Toyota for the 2008 season, you know, I don't think anybody would have predicted that a team at that time called Haas CNC Racing would become the big team. But obviously, you know, when Tony Stewart joined that organization as a part owner, it really lifted that organization up. They made a lot of changes there. And look at where they've become, and they've won two of the last five championships. So it'll be interesting to see what happens down the road with, how this move impacts things, because it's not just about what's happening today or tomorrow or the next year. It's what's happening beyond next year and the next couple of years down the road.
Dustin, is this an early time for an announcement of this magnitude to come out? Wouldn't this be something mid-season or near the end, or is this the time to let that out of the bag, if you will?
Well, look, the decision's out now, and the Stewart folks had contacted Rick Hendrick last month and told him about it. The Hendrick folks were, the information is filtering down through Hendrick Motorsports. Eventually the word's going to get out.
Yeah.
So for that sense, you get ahead of it, get it out there, and just move on. And, it's not like by announcing it that anything has changed, because they already told Hendrick Motorsports previously this is what was going to happen.
Sure.
Everybody has, the timetables are always different. It depends on the conversations are when everything gets wrapped up, this and that. Maybe it creates some awkwardness, but look, remember, what was it? In 12, you knew that, a few years ago when Keselowski won the championship, they were leaving Dodge for Ford, and they still won the championship that season. So, that is, just because the announcement's been made now doesn't mean Stewart Haas Racing isn't going to win the championship or isn't going to have a chance to win the championship. If they don't win the championship, I'm pretty sure it's going to be because of something else.
Yeah. You mentioned announcements. NASCAR announced the 20 nominees for the 2017 Hall of Fame, the inductees. Any surprises on there? I know some people might be questioning having Ray Evraham on there. Great story on your website, NBCSports.com/NASCAR-talk. You guys really have a good setup on there and kind of a good argument why he should be there.
Well, I think he's certainly a viable and deserving candidate. Essentially the 20 different nominees, 15 are held over, carried over from last year, and then five new ones among the new ones, driver Ricky Rudd, car owner Jack Roush. You also had the Truck Series driver Ron Hornaday, former champion in that series. There's a lot of great, worthy candidates, all deserving to be in at some point, most likely will in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting to see what the voters decide in May when they get into that room and try to whittle down 20 to the next five-member class that'll be inducted in next year.
Well, now that we've got Daytona done, it's almost a sigh of relief for some drivers. Chase Elliott, obviously, up and down weekend. he's really looking forward to Atlanta. I know that. But, there were penalties that have been, handed down on Tuesday from NASCAR. Can you explain who they went to and what they were for?
Yeah, first of all, you talk about up and down weekends, and that's one thing, with Hendrick Motorsports, they did not have a car finish in the top 10 in the Daytona 500, which was, I want to say, the first time since 2009 that has happened, whereas, everybody's talked this past week of just how well the Toyota teams worked together and basically determined they were strong, they controlled the pack. It was weird. It was almost like watching cycling, watching something like the Tour de France, where you have...
Good analogy.
Where you have one team kind of dictating what the peloton or the pack is doing, and they're going to dictate the pace and they're going to dictate who's out front, and the Toyotas were well positioned for that. And those were four Gibbs cars, but obviously the other one was Martin Truex Jr. was Furniture World Racing, and that was his first race in the Toyota camp. One of the things he said was that he really wanted to gain the trust of the Joe Gibbs teammates and so that they can better work together as the season goes on, which I know Martin said he felt like there would be some hiccups throughout this early part of the season as they get adjusted to the new cars, the new chassis, and everything that's new with Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you talked about penalties earlier. The Martin Truex team received a P2 penalty, and if you remember, it goes back to qualifying day at Daytona, where when the car was in line, a NASCAR inspector noticed an issue with the roof flap.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at it, took the car back to the inspection bay, took photographs, examined it. Car did not get out for a qualifying attempt. Martin had to start the rear of his qualifying race. So it's a P2 penalty. It's probation for crew chief Cole Pern. It's just a minor violation. There were four other warnings. They do warnings, in the Cup Series, along all series, but there were four in the Cup Series for some of the smaller teams, just with having issues getting through the laser inspection station, pre-qualifying.
you know, if you have four warnings, then you lose the opportunity to pick your pit stall.
Oh.
And the next opportunity. But it was not any of the top 20 teams that have that issue. And so they'll go on to Atlanta. And again, this, yeah. You know, here in Atlanta, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this low downforce package.
Yep.
And, you know, this is the new package that NASCAR's put in, the drivers have been talking about that they wanted
yep.
to be able to race around each other a little better. So, you know, I don't think you can judge if the package is good or bad based on just one race this weekend. You'll have to look at the next few weeks, but, you know, there's a variety of tracks over the next few weeks, and I think that'll start to give a sense of what this package is. It also gives NASCAR a sense of, you know, what more they want to do for next season. I know, I guess it's already been mentioned in the Drivers' Council meeting when they have a meeting earlier this year about starting to talk about 2017 and looking ahead to some things there. And I'm sure that's some of the aspects that they're kind of will look at and discuss.
You know, I noticed Jeffrey Earnhardt making his debut at Atlanta, so another Earnhardt name coming up to Cup. And he's been running for a while. He's had a few starts, but this will be his first Cup start, right?
This season, Bobby Labonte was in the 32 car for the Daytona 500. He's got the Super Speedway experience, and Jeffrey will be running, you know, majority of the races this season. So, yeah, it's an opportunity. He's got some work to do. He understands that. And he was in some races last year and tried to work on getting that trust with some of the other competitors and just kind of, you know, he hadn't been in the car as much the last couple of years. And at one point he was, you know, he was trying his hand at, you know, a level of like the UFC fighting and actually had a few bouts in that. So, I mean, he's a tough guy, no doubt about that. So, but he's got a tough challenge ahead of him with getting adjusted to the car, getting adjusted to, you know, getting that experience. And he's got limited experience. But, yeah, you know, I think for a lot of fans, it's good to see, you know, another Earnhardt out there on the track. We'll see what happens.
Well, Daytona, Joe Gibbs Racing collects $1.5 million for Denny Hamlin's win. Again, that's just a lot of money in the media tour. I know I saw that next morning, that Monday, he had said he hadn't even slept yet. So Denny's going to be ready for Atlanta, obviously. That team moves on. And Joe Gibbs Racing brings Toyota the first win at Daytona, right?
Yeah, I know, certainly it was a monumental day for Toyota with having, you know, the win and the three cars in the top five, or four cars in the top five, as strong a finish as what they had. And so many cars right up there. I mean, they had the four at the first five spots going into the last couple laps. So, you know, it might have been a 1-2-3-4-5 sweep had everything worked out. That they would have, I mean, they already were ecstatic and would have been even more so. But really, you know, what happens at Daytona is one thing now.
Yeah,
the season starts this week at Atlanta.
That's true.
And we'll really see what happens, you know, what teams have kind of hit on with this new low downforce package and kind of go from there and really get a sense of what the racing is going to be like, get a sense of where the teams are at, you know, who might be good, who might be struggling. You know, one guy I'm going to keep an eye on this weekend, throughout the weekend, is Carl Edwards. You know, he's a guy who's really talked about wanting that low downforce package. He actually would prefer that they take more downforce away. You know, we'll see where he's at and how it kind of works with him. And just kind of gauge what the drivers say the next few weeks.
Well, a lot to cover, and again, you've pretty much nailed all of it. Dustin Long with NBC Sports. How do we keep track of you at the track?
Just on Twitter, at Dustin Long, and certainly on our site at NBCSports.com/NASCAR, NASCAR Talk.
Well, thanks again, Dustin. It's always great to have him be a big part of the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Remember, we podcast the show later at usfdracing.org. That's United States Fire Department Racing. We race out of Kannapolis, North Carolina, and we help bring funds and awareness to volunteer fire departments from all over the country. So, having a fish fry, want a race car? We got you covered. Remember to check out the website, caneswarriorkids.com. That's K-A-N-E-S, warriorkids.com. Find out all the information and where we're going to be racing soon and how you can help lots of kids along the Gulf Coast that are fighting cancer. Still to come, we're going to talk Deep South Speedway next. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FN Talk 106.5. Thank you again to Mobile International Speedway, Five Flag Speedway, Sunny South Raceway, and Deep South Speedway in Locksley, Alabama. They're ready now. They've got the open practice, the second one, coming up today. Jay Wells is already at the track getting stuff ready, so I figured let's get one of the drivers that's going to be out here putting on a show. And these guys, when they come, they're amazing. We've got the Lucas Oil ASCS Southern Outlaw Sprint Cars coming, and the driver of the 4M, Michael Miller, on the line. And Michael, first of all, good morning, and welcome to the show. We've never had you on before, and you wing sprint cars, you guys drivers, you got a little special crazy in you, don't you?
Sometimes we have to say that, yeah.
Let me ask you, first of all, we're excited to have Deep South Speedway has really put in a lot of time and effort in reshaping the track, making it what it used to be. You know, you're going to have 80-foot, lanes in the front straightaway, 90 in the curves, and you got a 23-degree angle. So from what I've heard from the people that have been practicing last week and heading there today, the track's in great shape. And I know I grew up in Indiana, so Kokomo, Terre Haute, Eldora, I love the buddy. I love the dirt wing sprint cars. And for you guys to bring a show like you're doing to Deep South Speedway Saturday and kicking off the doubleheader Friday in Hattiesburg, can you kind of explain what you're going to be able to put on for the fans that are coming?
You know, to our promoters and stuff with the ASDS SOS region, they put on the best weekend combination, I think, right here. I tell all my fans, all my friends and family, this weekend, you get the biggest taste of wing sprint car racing. We have one of the greatest little short tracks, I think, little hidden gems.
Yeah.
On Friday night at Hattiesburg. True grit short track racing. Yeah. And then Saturday night, we go to Deep South Speedway, which would be like our Talladega.
Yeah.
Super speedway racing. I mean, you get both ends of the spectrum. This weekend is truly the combination that builds sprint car racing, and hopefully in our area, it only builds to be bigger and greater things.
Tell us a little bit about the Lucas Oil ASCS and the Wing Sprint Car Association, and why they're around this area, and what have you seen? Because we've seen other sprint car organizations come and go, and it's been sad to see because, obviously, again, growing up in the Midwest, these are the cars I love. I got open wheel modified. I'm going to run a lot this year at Deep South Speedway. Don't have the cojones to do what you're doing yet, but maybe down the road. But tell us about what the organization does and what to expect to see again.
You know, that's something, you know, we've merged with Lucas Oil and ASDS, and it's only for bigger and greater things to come and years to come. And I really, truly feel that we're here to stay in the greater Southeast, and I feel that we'll only grow. As a 360 sprint car, it's pretty much the blue-collar man form of racing. We're not in the 410 rank kind of world. It just takes such big money and sponsorship assistance, and then you got to tour coast to coast.
Yeah.
But for a man like myself to work, you know, a full, you know, 10, 11-hour day and then try to balance that race car, and it's truly the best form of racing I could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And I really think that this is going to be the sprint car thing here to stay in the greater Southeast, like I say.
Well, the fans love them, and you know that. And, Michael, you're out of Pascagoula, Mississippi. There's a lot of good cars in this area.
There truly is. I mean, from Timmy Thrash, which is actually a great friend of mine, on and off the racetrack. He helps me a lot with some engineering things, different things like that. But from Shane Morgan, I tell you what, a new up and coming guy in our area that's well known through the modified world has jumped the fence and looking for greener grass on this side.
Wow,
Ronnie Roberts.
Oh yeah,
smoking fast.
Wow,
super smooth. And I've seen a lot of late model guys and modified guys convert over, but I think Ronnie Roberts could be some of the new future in our area.
Well, Michael, what is it about the wing sprint cars that attracts you to it? How do you get started racing, brother?
You know, my father, let me start with my great-grandfather, you know, owned a race car, and then my dad has just always worked around them and never drove, always kind of worked on the car, And then about 10 years old, we started racing, and I was the victim, as I always say. It's a funny thing through the family, and I've always enjoyed it. The adrenaline, I think the competition. I've always said to go race for the bigger series, competition is always what fueled me.
Yes.
I always say, you know, to go race for the bigger series, to get my butt whipped every now and then, I think just makes me a better driver all around.
The learning experience.
Yes, just experience, seat time. I mean, this is the basics. But to develop and develop and to race, you know, my father, bless him,
we raced all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, 50-60 shows a year.
Wow.
So it was a good motivational kick for me at a young age.
Yeah.
And then here I am at 32 years old. I love it as much now than I did at 15-16.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a true grit sport.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of time and a lot of effort, but something I truly, dearly love.
Can you kind of explain what kind of speeds we might see out of those cars at Deep South Speedway tonight? Because, again, when you guys – or, I'm sorry, next Saturday, I should say. But when you guys come, I mean, if you're set up right, you ain't lifting. It's amazing.
No, you're right. At Deep South Speedway, it is truly a – I almost kind of say a state-of-the-art facility for where we live.
Yeah.
It is truly one of a kind.
Yep.
I'm seeing speeds at 150 plus.
Gosh.
You know, we've merged with some new drivers now, bringing the Lucas Oil field in.
Mm-hmm.
We're bringing in some Marshall Skinner and guys like from the Memphis area. I mean, we're talking about legends in their area.
Wow.
So we're going to bring some true high-quality cars that even our area haven't seen before. And they'll have to learn the new guys, and I'm telling you, it's going to be tough on me and even our local guys, Timmy Thrash and Shane Morgan and the new guy, Ryan Roberts. It's going to be tough on us to be consistently competitive with some of these new guys coming in.
Well, what about the website, Michael? Where can we get more information about the organization?
Right there, I want to say Facebook.
It is
pretty much the social media gathering for, I think, all of the world, SOS Outlaws. And then I want to say we're SOSOutlaws.com.
Yep.
You can check out anything on there, any kind of driver profile, anything like that.
Well, it's going to be great. How about sponsors? I mean, obviously, I'm hoping that you're not just paying for it out of your day job. A lot of us do, though.
We do. We've got Professional Auto Collision has been a part of my career of racing.
Wow.
William and Barbara Webb and Wyatt Webb have helped me and supported me tremendously. You know, my father, when we got started, J.E. Borey's Marine Construction has been there with me for the past few years. You know, from Jazz Products, we've actually picked up a new sponsor this year, all the way from California.
Wow.
We've merged with KTB Motorsports, and they brought on Jazz Products. So that's been a huge blessing for me. It helps us get up and down the road and do all the things we can, because like you said, we can't do this all right out of my pocket.
Yeah, it takes a lot of money to ride that train, doesn't it?
That's right.
Well, I know you're getting ready. Obviously, the car's set up and ready to go. I wish you were nearby so you could crank it. I'm just that excited. It's going to be great, you know. Be safe Friday. I know with that small, tight track at Hattiesburg, there could be some attrition. We want you to be safe and bring the circus over to Deep South Speedway for us.
That's right. That's circus. You said it. Keyword right there. Bring the circus. Thank you very much.
Hey, glad to have you on. Thank you, Michael Miller, again, driving that number 4M ASCS Southern Outlaw Sprint Cars. Can you believe it? They're coming. I mean, racing season is finally here, race fans. This is what we've been waiting off since December, you know, Snowball Derby time. So it's only been a couple of months, but as a driver and as a fan, I know I'm excited that all these tracks are having some great responses and big car counts already planned. So thank you again to Mobile International Speedway and Five Flag Speedway. I'm heading there this afternoon from 4 to 9. We'll be there doing the drifting at night. It is something to see. Also, thanks to our good sponsor, Sunny South Raceway, teaming up with Mobile International Speedway, the Highway 90 Challenge Series. That's going to be great for local bomber and sportsman drivers and the fans again. Two tracks, 13 races. There's a lot of good racing along the Gulf Coast. Thank you to Deep South Speedway. Jay Wells already on the track doing his thing. Your last chance before the battle begins next Saturday. So be safe. Have a blessed day, everybody, and love you, Mom. We'll see you next weekend.
If you'd like to be featured on Full Throttle Racing with Kane, email us at fullthrottleracingwithkane@yahoo.com, and they may have you and your race team on the air. Join us again next Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. for another hour of local and national racing news on Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5.